Hope everyone's doing good today. A great day just to worship, be with one another. Just a couple of quick announcements. The youth, you guys have a corn maze on October the 12th, and there's more details, but just if you're a teenager, remind your parents, there's a corn maze coming. It's going to be awesome. And I want to take that just to just brag on our church. It is so cool to see how our church is serving the community. I mean, we have three people right now serving at the school. Athavia is just meeting with someone from Juarez, Mexico. I know Linda is going to be meeting with several other students. Linda is fluent in Spanish. And so there's a lot of things going on here. Also, I thought it was so cool that our church came yesterday and served our community. I love how we do that. The block party, the chamber, this is their third year of doing it. And if you've ever had to do an event like that, the worst thing to do and the hardest thing to find is volunteers who will tear down. Because if you're setting that up, you've been there. Vicky, who leads it, was there at 5 a.m. yesterday. And when we showed up in our droves and we knocked it out of the park, if she said it once, she said it 10 times. Thank you. I wanted to quit 3 hours ago. I was done. And then she was literally bragging on our church to every single person she could talk to. And that's what I want. I want to be the church that the community is bragging on, that we don't need to talk. Our actions show up, right? And they can see that we care about our community and we're doing those things. So I just want to say thank you. And also, it was nasty too. The last thing, some of our volunteers, they said our hands smelled like teriyaki chicken, and we were laughing because there was no chicken, there was no teriyaki. So whatever that was making our hands smell like that, it was gross. So that was awesome. We have a lot of guests with us today, so I just want to remind you, if this is your first time here or if you've been here a couple times and you want to know more about Three Trails, fill out this card and we'll get connected to you. We will not hound you with text and email, but it's a way for us just to kind of keep the relationship going. The other thing is on October 20th at 5 p.m., we're going to have kind of it's not a new members class, but if you kind of know that language, it's going to be kind of like that. It's going to be an introduction to who Three Trails is. So we'll be giving out an email to those of you who have come and visited. We will give you that date. Please feel free to let us know if you're coming. We're going to have pizza. We'll have childcare. But it'll be an opportunity for you to kind of come, see what's important to our church. You'll be able to ask questions. If there's certain things you want to be clarified or you want more information on, this is the time to do it. We'll just share our vision and kind of our expectations of people who are part of Three Trails family. And so that's a big day. So October 20th at 5 p.m., we'll be meeting at Martin City Baptist Church. We'll give you all the details. If you're interested. But to give you kind of a snapshot today, one of the things, a great place to go if you want to know more about our church is to go to our website. And if you go to our website, you'll go to the About page, and there you'll see our mission statement and our core values. And on the website, you can go to that slide. On the website, you will see this statement, and it talks about our core values. And what it talks about here is a couple years ago, when God started putting this desire in a lot of our hearts to start this church, one of the things that we asked ourselves is, why another church? Right? Like, why does this city, why does South Kansas City, why does this community need one more church? And we wanted to view it from someone who didn't go to church, someone who didn't value church. And as we were talking about it, we were just going, what's wrong with our country, or what's wrong with our community? What is missing? And as we were talking about it, we're like, there's just a lack of love. There's just something going on right now. There's a lack of love. There's a lack of peace. There's just a lack of unity. And it's never more clear than you watch, you know, you can watch CNN and you hear one side of the news and you watch Fox News and you get another side of the news. And then like both say one's right and the other one says it's completely wrong. And like, there's just no unity whatsoever. But here's the thing. There's been something wrong with our world for years. And the world has been trying to figure out the solution. Right? I grew up in the 80s, and I feel like the 80s, it was a really big push on education. I remember before we found out all the bad things about Bill Cosby, it was about go get your education. Because if you get educated, all these things will be fixed. I remember Oprah doing the schools in South Africa and helping people who do not have education. And so I just remember growing up in that era where like people need to be educated. And here's the thing, that's absolutely true. But the problem is in even the most educated parts of the world, there's still brokenness. So education didn't fix it. People may say, well, it's government. We need this form of government or we need that form of government. Maybe you're thinking, I need the government out of my business. I need free market capitalism. I need, you know, maybe a representation of the people. But even in those countries, guess what? There's brokenness. So there's been that knee-jerk reaction. Maybe we need a communism or socialism where the government looks out for everybody and controls everything. But guess what? Even in those countries, there's brokenness. So people maybe have tried religion. And if you think of all the different religions that are out there, people have tried. But no matter what country you go to or what religion someone uses, you know what's there? Brokenness. Nothing's working. Even to the point where right now we live in the first ever in 2,000 years, a post-Christian society. And I'd even put it almost a post-religion society. Because this new generation is looking at all the brokenness and they're like, you've tried religion, you've tried government, you've tried all these things on the outside. And none of it's working. And so there's this kind of this new belief system that's happening that people aren't focusing on the outside rules. It's all about just find you. In fact, we were as a leadership team was listening to this talk on this. And the core values of our day right now are this. And you'll hear this in so many different ways. Be true to yourself. Find who you are. And don't let anyone, and none of these things are wrong to a T, but you can really see it playing out in our culture. 2, do what makes you happy. 3, no one has a right to judge someone else. We talked about this all the time. People who do not know the Bible at all know the verse, do not judge lest you be judged. So if you bring up any stance, you're like, well, you're a Christian, you shouldn't be judged. And I'm like, well, do you know the rest of the passages? No, I just know the one I like, right? Then 4, be free to do what you want as long as you don't hurt anyone else. And we are seeing this kind of just flow through our culture where people are saying basically, do you, I do me, and we'll be tolerant of one another until you step on my toes. But as long as we don't hurt each other, we're good. Now, we'll only be tolerant if you tolerate me. But we see what's going on. And the reason why this is happening is that the culture has seen all the other things fail. And so we can look at it and go, I can't believe our culture's got here. It has gotten here because everything else has been broken. So if we want to judge and say, oh, I can't believe this is happening, we got to look at ourselves and go, how did we cause this? Now, I would say the reason why this is happening is that we are just showing what has happened from the beginning of time. When Eve was in the garden, God said, listen, you got one tree. Don't eat from it. You can eat from everything else. And if the dimensions are basically true, the Garden of Eden was about the size of Texas. Okay? And there was one tree in it. So I don't know about you, but if the tree of knowledge of good and evil would ruin everything was in Dallas, I'm going to go live in El Paso or San Antonio. I'm going to be nowhere near. But for some reason, Adam and Eve wanted to be right next to it. And Satan, who's tempting her, says, did God say you can't eat of this? And she was like, well, I mean, he said I can't eat of it and I can't touch it. And he goes, you're not going to die. In fact, God knows that the day you eat of this tree, you will be as gods. You will be able to define what is right and what is wrong. And that is exactly where our culture is today. Now, I would say it has always been in mankind's nature to do this. We just hid it a lot longer. We would just hide it under religion, or we would hide it under government, or we would hide it under education. We've always wanted to be a people that called the shots. When Paul went to the province of Galatia, it was a melting pot, much like our nation. They had 3 strong cultures. They had the Greeks, they had the Romans, and then they had the Jews. Now, the Greeks and the Romans, they had a really unique religion where originally it was the Greeks. And if you think of the Greek gods, right, like Zeus and all that, and we see it as mythology, but that was their religion. And they are what was called animistic or polytheistic. Now, their religion was find a god. They believed everything could be a god or a god represented something. So if you wanted good weather, you'd have to find the god of weather and appease that god. You wanted a baby, find the god of fertility. Find Cupid. You'll find love. You'll find babies. Just, you got to appease Cupid. And so they had to find all these gods. And the Roman religion was very similar. In fact, it kind of morphed into one where they had the same gods but different names. But what it was it really wasn't the worship of the gods. It was a manipulation of the gods to get what you wanted. And here's the thing. If we're not careful, we do the same thing. We just don't have multiple gods. We just maybe try to, well, God, if I do this or if I do that, you'll kind of do what I want you to do. Well, when Paul started this church, the Jews were there as well. Now, Judaism in the beginning, when we talked about this, God said to Abram, I'm going to make you a nation. And through you, you're going to bless all the world. Now, what they turned it into was that we are God's special people. And God is just for us. And what happened is that they got overthrown. And during the time that Jesus came and when Paul was talking, the Jews were occupied by Rome. And they thought that when the Messiah came, they were going to kick out the Romans so they could have their sweet little kingdom again. And they could be like David and have all the good things, and it would be all about them again. And so this idea of we're all for ourselves, that is not a new thing. That has always been in our nature. So when Paul preached that Jesus is the King of Kings and that you believe in him and he's the access to God, it was always revolutionary. That's why people killed the Christians, because they didn't like it. In fact, the Romans, they had another thing, another religion called the worship of Caesar. And if you didn't think Caesar was God, they would kill you. That is why they absolutely hated the Christians, because we claim there was another king, his name was Jesus. If you remember when Jesus was being interviewed by Pilate, he says, are you a king? And he goes, yes, but my kingdom's not up here. And so they were absolutely afraid that these Christians were worshiping or following a new king. Now, in Galatians, Paul talked about this gospel, and he talked about the solution for our problem of brokenness. But it wasn't what the other religions said. The religions see the brokenness, and it sees our bad deeds. But the gospel, he says, in Galatians 1 verse 3 or verse 4, he says, Jesus gave himself for our sins, which means our nature. See, as mankind, we're not just do bad things. We do bad things because we're broken. We need to be redeemed. And so this was something that they don't like. And guess what? We don't like it either. Because it tells us that we're broken and we can't fix ourselves. So go with me, chapter 3, verse 10. Paul's going to continue on this message. Now, if you remember last week, you know, just kind of a pause. I love our church. I love that we have different leaders. We have different message styles. I could have never have preached Abraham the OG like Terry did, right? Like, I love how he put that and just and made it so practical. Because it is so true. So God has always said, you want a relationship with me? It has always been through faith. It has never been through works. Go back to Abram. It was always through faith, never through works. So verse 10, he says this as a continuation. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed. Now, when we read scripture, there are two curses that are going on. When Adam and Eve sinned and sin entered our world, there was a curse on every single one of us. It made us a sinner. Every single person is born with this focus of self. And if you don't believe me, have a baby. Adopt a baby. Serve with children. Even at a young age, they fight for things. Even yesterday, we celebrated our three-year-old's birthday. And he got this Batman toy. And he was playing with it. He was so happy. Well, we were driving to another area. And our other boy, Liam, was playing with it. And he was getting mad that Owen was playing with Calvin's toy because Liam wanted it. And Liam goes, now, Owen, you know that's Calvin's birthday present. You can't play with it. And Megan's like, well, neither can you. Well, let's not go that far, Mom. Right? This is all about me right now. There's just something within us. It's the curse of sin. Now, the sin, the curse that Paul's talking about right now was that when the Jews were freed out of Egypt and they were going into the promised land, God gave them the law. We'll talk about the Ten Commandments, but there was more than just 10. There was like 600 of them. And God is like, listen, if you want to be my people, you got to keep all of them so that the world will know that I am God. And so the barrier to enter the land, and he goes, listen, if you're going to join this covenant with me, you're going to be my people. Listen, you take them all, you do them all, we're good, you're going to be blessed. Everyone will see that you're blessed. But if you break just one, the curse of the law will be on you. And so that's what eventually happened. That is why the Jews were under Roman occupation. That is why they were everywhere. They had been judged by God because they did not keep the law. Now, so what he's saying here is, listen, if you want the promise of God, which was you're in a relationship with God and he will bless you to bless others, the route has never been the law. It has always been faith. Remember the OG. It's always been faith. It has never been the works. Verse 11. Now it is clear that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. But the law is not based on faith. Instead, the one who does these things will live by them. So as Paul is talking to this Jewish audience, he's literally taking Jewish scriptures and Jewish stories to remind them what they believe. Because there's sometimes that we will live a certain way, but it's not based on what we say we believe. And so he goes, hey, remember, your own word says that those who are righteous will live by faith. Now, there's a lot of terms going on here. And he says, faith is you believe God. It is based on a belief system. Now, he's saying to be justified, it's a legal term. It needs to be declared innocent or to be declared righteous. And when he says the righteous is someone who fulfills all the law, all the requirements, you're in a right relationship with God. And what he's saying here is even the Old Testament says that you cannot be in a right relationship with God based on your works. It has always been based on faith. Now, because these are legal terms, justification, he's using it as a judge would declare someone not guilty. We have to understand the legal system that the hearers or the audience understand. See, as Americans, we can read the scriptures and we kind of take our view of democracy and our government and we kind of read into it. See, like when we think of our government system, we've got three branches, right? We have one branch that makes all the rules, the legislation. Now, we can vote them in. So they should be making laws based on what we want. And if they don't, or if it's a law we don't like, they can make an amendment back to our Constitution. And then we have our judicial that looks at the Constitution, looks at our laws, and makes sure that it's legitimate. And then we have the executive branch that looks at the laws and then does judgments or deeds or punishes people based on the laws. But back when you had a king, he did all three. The king would make the law because he's the king. He would judge you guilty or innocent because he's the king. And then he would do punishment or reward you, again, because he's the king or Caesar's. He can do what he wants. I think a lot of times when we look at God, we view him as our president. That if we don't like what he wants, we just find a new one. Or we think maybe it was just a suggestion. So when God said, do it this way, well, I'm just not going to focus on this part. I'll just focus on the part that I like. And this should rub us a little ways because, again, if we are broken and we are selfish, we're being told that there is a God that has made the authority. He is the authority. He creates the world, so he gets to tell how it runs. And then he says, and he looks at our actions and says, you're guilty or you're innocent. And then he either rewards us or he punishes us. And we're just not used to that. And so our world is refuting that. Our world is saying, I don't like that. A lot of people would say, well, how could a loving God do justice on someone and send them to hell? How could he find them guilty? And here's the thing. The Bible talks about this. We can't truly grasp it because we're not God. And maybe we would say, well, if I was God, I would do this. Or if I was God, I would do that. You know what Jesus said? He goes, why do you humans worry? You can't even add a second to your life. And that is the least you can do. He understood who God was and that we cannot add. We are not in control. If you live long enough, you realize you're not in control, right? We think we are. And so if you live long enough, you'll start to notice we can judge God and go, how dare he? But you realize you're not in control either. Now, what God teaches us, and a lot of people look at the Bible, if God is all about himself, is he not just as selfish as us? And I think a lot of people in our culture is looking at that and going, isn't he just as bad as us? If you look at the Old Testament, he kills off people. You look at the New Testament, he sends us to hell. I mean, how could you believe in a God like that? And I'll tell you this, as you read Scripture, God is loving, but he is also just. He is the creator. And so we can like it or not like it, but he is the authority. You can like gravity or not like gravity, but if you jump off a building, guess what? You're going to be a believer real soon. And that's the thing about God. Now, here's the good news. Look at me in verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Because it is written, he goes back to Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. The purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. What Paul is saying is he goes back to the Old Testament. And back in the Old Testament, when they were going into the promised land and they would conquer a king, they would take that conquered king and they would put him on a pole. And it would literally be a way of, we beat you. We're more powerful than you. And it was this mockery of this king. And so they would hang him on this tree so everyone would see that he has become a mockery and has been defeated. And what God is saying is that Jesus literally became a curse. He became a defeated king so that he could take away our sin. When we lived in Ethiopia, we were living during this time of socialism. But we went to this really cool museum that talked about how the king, they had a kingdom that they traced all the way back to Solomon and Sheba, all the way to 1970s. And when that king was overthrown, King Haile Selassie, the communists, to discredit him, to mock him, they buried him in a toilet. That's exactly what the picture is of the tree. They mocked him to show that he was defeated. Jesus literally took you and I's defeat, our shame, our curse, and took it on the tree so that we could have a relationship with his God, with the Father. So this is what's so cool about the God of the Bible. He is the authority. He wants a relationship with us, but we're not compatible. We just can't come to him just like, hey, what's up, God? No, we're broken. And that's why Jesus came. So when we say, could a loving God send someone to hell? A loving God became a curse for you, for your sin, so that you could have a relationship with his Father. That's the God of the Bible. Verse 15. And I love this. He says, brothers and sisters. He says, guys, because of Jesus, we're family. Because of Jesus, this God that we were incompatible with, he was so holy we could not get to him. We're now brothers and sisters. We're now family. He goes on. I'm going to use a human illustration. No one sets aside or makes addition to a validated human will. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say and to seeds, as though referring to many, but referring to one and to your seed, who is the Messiah. So Paul goes back to Abraham, our OG. He says, you remember when God said, Abram, I'm going to give your offspring. That's what our English says, but it literally means seed, as in like one seed, not offsprings or seeds, plural. He says, Abram, I'm going to make a covenant with you and your coming seed, and through this seed, all the nations are going to be blessed, and I'm going to have this promise with you. And so what Paul is saying is that when God made this eternal covenant before the law, before we were judged by it, God said, walk by faith because the promise is coming. And that promise, that deal, is with the seed, the Messiah. So the gospel is that when Jesus came as a Jew and he fulfilled the requirements of the law, he never sinned. And when he hung on the tree and became a curse for you and I, he allowed us to get the promise of Abraham, which was a relationship with an incompatible God. Next verse. Verse 17. My point is this. The law which came 430 years later does not invalidate a covenant previously established by God and thus cancel the promise. And then you may ask, why the law? That's a great question. We'll talk about that next week. Because the law had a purpose. It just wasn't God was like, oh, let's just throw a law in for a couple of thousand years just to jack with them. No, there's a reason. But verse 18. For if the inheritance is based on the law, it is no longer based on the promise. But God has graciously given it to Abraham through the promise. Guys, we talked about this in the beginning of Galatians. The book of Galatians is a book sandwiched between grace. Because Paul is so passionate about what they've done wrong because they're perverting the gospel. He, in between the two grace, he's kind of like we're having a Jesus moment. He's getting the belt out and he's just going to town on his children because they are jacking with something that has eternal consequences. But he wants them to be reminded that it's about grace. It's about grace. It's about grace. He is angry because they're taking away the grace. Because if you take away God's grace, we are all damned to hell. We have no hope. It doesn't matter how good you are, now how many good things you do, you need God's grace. And a side note, so give grace to others. All right? But he says, listen, this promise is that you have an eternal relationship with an incompatible God. And one day, his son, the Messiah, is going to come back and he's going to establish an eternal kingdom. That's the gospel. Do you believe Jesus is the king? Yesterday, or actually a couple days ago, a friend of mine posted this on Facebook. It's a really interesting article. It's about, you can go ahead and show the article. It's called, What the Hell? I know I've said that twice today, so you can forgive me. But that's what local seminaries are asking. Kansas City has about 5 or 6 different seminaries. And because our culture is changing its view on heaven and hell, we want heaven, but we just want to get rid of hell. And so local seminaries all around our city are going, is there a literal hell? And several of them are saying, no, we don't know what it is, but it's not eternal. God wouldn't send you there forever. And other people will say, well, it's just a state of mind. And so in this comment, it was really interesting. One of my friends that I grew up going to school with posted this. He is now an atheist, but he says this. Remove hell from the discussion. And you quickly discover that spending eternity with God is not enough of a reason to follow the Christian doctrine. This was a young man who grew up in church. He was like, when you guys went to school, there was that really good kid who brought the Bible. And like, he was awesome. He loved everybody. But sometime down the road, he started denying God. And I want to say, him and I are actually going to start our discussion and we're going to start building this relationship again. But I told him, I said, I think one of the reasons why this is happening in our culture is that we've changed the gospel. We no longer tell people that Jesus is the king. We've been telling people, do you want to go to hell or do you want to go to heaven? And that's a really easy decision, right? Like 9 out of 10 dentists recommend heaven over hell, right? Right? Hopefully 10 out of 10. All right. So why would you say I want to go to hell? And so what we've done is that we've sold people on a destination, but we didn't tell them about the king. And so it's really hard to tell people. We woo them in. Man, Jesus loves you. You have a God-shaped hole. He wants to send you to heaven. There's no questions. There's no strings attached. Come to church. Come and follow him. And then they start reading their Bible. And like, all right, tithe, serve, stop sinning, stop doing this. And they're like, wait. I signed up for heaven. I didn't sign up for this Jesus. And what is so sad is that someone who walked with him, who said he followed him, said, God, the eternal being, who sent his son to be a curse for you and I, if there is no hell, there's no reason to have a relationship with him. And sink that in. Because here's the thing. We are either in two categories. You are either someone who thinks you're God and you can determine what's right and wrong. You may even call yourself a Christian. You may even be going to heaven because you've claimed him and God forgives you and and God is gracious. But your day-to-day life, you are your God. The relationship between you and God is not there. You are your own authority. You do what you want to do when you want to do it, and our culture will feed it to you. Or you're someone who realizes you're not. And you see God as this eternal being, and here's the thing. You may not wrap your mind around it. You're not gonna. We can't. He's different than us. He's holy than us. He's so much different than we can ever wrap our mind around. However, we do know that there was a historical person 2,000 years ago, and we have eyewitnesses. Did you know that if the Gospels, if Jesus' existence and his death and burial and resurrection was in a court of law, it would pass as an irrelevant event, a historical event? Because there were so many eyewitnesses. There were so many who wrote it. In fact, the book of Galatians was one of the first historical Gospels or Bible scriptures ever written. It was probably written about 16 years after Jesus had been crucified. So think about it. The eyewitnesses were still alive. So if this gospel was false, if Jesus had not resurrected, people, even people who didn't believe, would have said, no, dude, we saw him die. He didn't resurrect. So we have the proof that Jesus died and resurrected. We have the eyewitness reports. And he did it so that you could have a relationship with the living God. But you've got to go to him as your authority. You can't go to him as an equal. And that is so difficult because we are not wired that way. But I will tell you this. When you let him take control, a weight is lifted off you because it's no longer what you do. Think through. Paul would know this better than anyone. He kept the law to a T. In fact, in the 1500s, there was a man named Martin Luther, and he was obsessed with trying to please God. He was a Roman Catholic priest, and he would keep all the laws, and he was so conquered by his sin that during the winters in Germany, he would sleep on concrete outside so it would punish him for his sins. And he would beat himself with whips and he would hurt himself over and over again because he knew how sinful he was. And one day he was reading in Romans, and it was the same verse that we read today, that the righteous will live by faith. And that one little statement changed his whole life. He knew God was holy. He just didn't think he could be ever compatible with him. Here's the thing. God wants a relationship with you. But what are you going to do with his king? Are you following him? Let's pray.